Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 26th, 248th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, really, he is, he's here this morning, Greg Foster.
Yeah, I guess we had a snafu.
Snafu, yeah. The S is my favorite in snafu.
Situation?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. See, because it can be said.
Right.
Exactly. And get in trouble. Yeah.
Well, now you got the right email address, so we're ready to go.
Hey, life is good. Our quote this morning, oh boy, I don't even recognize this. The Talmud?
The Talmud.
Talmud. You know what that is?
It's a historic religious text.
Oh, okay. That thing. Quote, a person will be called to account on Judgment Day for every permissible thing he might have enjoyed but did not.
Ooh. In other words, do it. Don't
put it off.
Don't die with unfinished business. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. That's
kind of like
one.
Piggies.
Yeah. Yes. Today is pig showing day at the fair. We delivered them yesterday, and so FFA is showing their pigs in the morning, and the 4-H in the afternoon, and then Sunday is a great event. Is the livestock auction. The youth livestock auction.
Now, Fred was bragging last Thursday that he was the auctioneer. Are there multiple auctioneers?
There are multiple auctioneers.
Good.
Yeah, it's a long auction. I don't know how many. Usually we have about 200 kids, or 200 lots, probably about 190 kids. Some of them get to do a couple if they have champions. You know, all hardworking kids raising all sorts of different animals, and then they'll sell them all at the end of the fair. I think this is probably my 10th year. Gosh, maybe more, actually, now that I think about it, when I started with my son, having animals at the fair, exhibits at the fair. It's, you know, for me, it's great because those kids are learning marketing and business, and they're hardworking, and this is probably the largest, no, I won't say probably, the largest youth entrepreneurship event in Humboldt County. You know, well over $250,000 is spent there. And those kids get to all take it home and pay off their parents, we hope, and use that money to.
So it's not like AEU where there's never a payback.
No, you know,
there's payback
there
on this
payback.
One. Okay.
There's payback every year. My kids, you know, my son, my oldest is out of it now because he's 20, but my youngest is still doing it. And at the end of the year, they get their check, and then we say, okay, the feed was this much, the animal was this much, and you got to, you know, pay back your expenses, and you get to keep the rest. And it's great. What we always did was, you know, take part of it, go to a college fund, part of it pays expenses, and part of it's your play money. So they bought an iPod 1 year, and you know, that kind of thing. And
they still have enough to play with.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah,
even after payback.
Yeah. Oh no, we've always done pretty well. 1 year we sold a turkey for $800. So
a turkey.
40
pounds. Was it wrapped already?
Nope.
You just
nope.
Did swing by Safeway or grocery store.
And no, it walks across.
Oh, okay.
40-pound Tom. We sold it for $20 a pound, but and then I had to take it home and do the
Oh, you prepared?
Processing, yes.
Oh, so this was one of those animal in and animal out?
Yeah. Yeah, well, animal in and food out.
Okay.
Ultimately, is the way it worked. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I understand, right? I thought it was like one of those little strips things. You know, you drive in the parking lot.
Oh gosh,
but you
don't, no.
The animal is able.
Every animal walks across the ring with the 4-H'er or FFA kid there, and people get to see them, and then you know the large animals all end up going to a processing facility. The small animals. We have to take care of ourselves.
Do them at home.
Yeah, we do them at home.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster, Executive Director from the REDEC.
Redwood Region Economic Development Commission.
Commission.
Yep.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm really glad I don't have to go to your board meetings, because I think it would be seen as an adverb rather than as a noun. How do you keep things going during those meetings? Is there enough stuff to keep it going, or trying to keep the personalities from attacking each other?
Well, you know, I'm really fortunate, and I actually have been, you know, I've been on and off executive director since for 16 years. And, you know, one of the great things about our board, the board basically has a few different functions, right? One of which is to just kind of oversee the fiduciary responsibility organization. And we're unique. We don't get any support. We're completely self-supporting, right? And so we live off our earnings from our loan funds. And that's, so there's a extra level there of responsibility. And so we, every month, you know, give them the financial updates and how the loan portfolio is performing and all that good stuff. The second part, of course, is looking at the programs and projects that we're taking on and providing their input and outreach to the community. Fly Humboldt, broadband, you know, there's been a number of different things where they come forward. And then the third thing that they do, which is helpful, is bring ideas to each other, or bring ideas, share information on economic development, or even project ideas. And so, you know, what's going on in one community may be helpful to another community, and they leak up. We usually have about 15 elected officials at our board meetings. We meet once a month.
That's not bad, three quarters.
You know, we were even saying last night, we had a board meeting Monday night, and, you know, they were saying, you know, this is a good board. We all get along. We don't fight. I think...
No grenade lobbying?
You know...
That would be predictable.
Well, you know, we don't regulate. We don't set policy. We don't, you know, do the things that can often create that kind of discord.
I'm thinking weird ideas, unique things that somebody, you know, inadvertently might think that they're... So he's taking a shot at them, or stepping on their toes, or outside their jurisdiction, or instead of, hey, here's a great idea, what do you guys think? Right. And everybody pounce on the idea.
Yeah, no, you know, but just, you know, maybe it's the personalities, maybe it's just the history. It really hasn't been like that, and which is good. I mean, you know, I'm sure we could say, we could start a meeting, or the president could start the meeting and say, okay, let's figure out what we disagree on, and we could be there all night. You know, what we try to do is say, let's find something that we agree on that we're going to work on.
Well, that's right, because it's a volunteer board. So you don't have too many full-time folks there.
No, it's so, they're all elected officials. We're one of their, you know, boards that they sit on. And every month we'll have a program. You know, we'll bring someone in that's doing something community interesting or whatever. And they'll hear about it and support it and go out and talk about it. So, you know, it's pretty streamlined. We have more names, more words in our name than we have in employees. You know, we're three employees and one contractor, and so we're pretty small. But I kind of like it like that. It's less to manage.
yeah. Keep it below that five employee level.
You know, exactly.
I know where you are. So what kind of sense do you guys have, Greg? Economic development is in the equation. Many of us wonder if that's pure conjecture in Humboldt County. You know, if the county has got something that says economic development, we kind of scratch our head and go, okay, how's that one defined?
Right.
Or if a city has got one, okay, how's that defined? You guys being a hybrid. Okay, how do you, when you look at economic development, or lack thereof,
right?
What do you see as far as summertime 2015? Is there economic development? Is it so on such a small scale that it's really tough to see?
Right.
You know, where is it?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And years ago, I and Redek kind of said, you know, what's our role in economic development? And we became a much more project-oriented, maybe even what you'd call infrastructure-oriented kind of program on one side. And then, you know, our other – and what funds us really is our investment in the small businesses locally. So, you know, in general, you know, economic development often is – judged in the rearview mirror, because you look at what the data is saying behind you, and you know, quite honestly, we look at the data and we see growth in certain types of industries. I know that, you know, just coming from the bank, we saw a lot of businesses coming in. I mean, we were quite busy doing expansion loans. When I got to REDEC, I found that they've been very busy for REDEC size as well. So that's one indication. For me, that's a great indication. You know,
yeah, you get a sense of bubbly.
Right, right.
Now, do you get that same sense walking up and down the street?
It depends on the street. You know, I see, like, for example, if I walk into Old Town, and, you know, I've been working in Old Town since 1999, or downtown. And so we see a lot of turnover, but you know, now I'm looking, there's a new restaurant finally down at the boardwalk, and you know, there's more activity there.
Four pending in Henderson Center for the last
right.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There are people working on things yeah. there. So, you know, as long as people are trying new things and getting going, that's always encouraging to me. You know, I've worked with a number of folks who are small manufacturers who have been growing quite a bit. And it's kind of those little niche companies.
Almost a hyper niche.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, for example, and if you look down on Fifth Street, the new Dick Taylor.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of traction
yes.
now. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, before the break, you were talking about some of the super niche.
Right.
And it seems to me, and I don't know, maybe it's because it's the segments I've been writing for the new station format, food.
Yeah.
And I look at it and go, okay, interesting, interesting. Doesn't every community have food and food manufacturing?
Right,
so
right.
while it's activity, the uniqueness isn't really there. Am I worried about something that I shouldn't need to worry about?
Well, so for me, food, if it's a food business, that's great. Or, but, you know, I'm more interested from, you know, when I was a banker or a lender or in economic development, it's like, okay, you make food, but where are you selling it, right? So
it's the distribution of the product,
right, right.
not the product.
Right,
yeah.
exactly. So if we're, you know, growing or making a lot of food here locally and we're consuming it locally, that's a great thing, obviously. But those food manufacturers that are making things that are shipped out.
That's a different ball game.
That's a whole different ball game. And so, for example, I mentioned Dick Taylor, you know, and if there's a story on them, there's been a number of stories on them. They just opened a new, you know, facility down in Fourth Street in Eureka. And they're shipping all over the world. You know, I mean, I was talking to the guys and they're like, we're shipping pallets to Japan. We're shipping them to England. We're shipping them, you know, all over the country. You know, Tulip Perfume is on the Target website and Amazon. That's being made in McKinleyville. So for, you know, food and those kind of items are, there's a lot. I mean, it's a crowded space, obviously, but that, but they're unique. And I mean, I think Dick Taylor chocolate, for example, is excellent. You know, it's great. I love it. Apparently, it's.
You're more refined than I am. Chocolate? Okay. Yes
yeah,
or
well,
no?
Some people say, hey, I'll throw in a Hershey's, you know,
yeah.
whatever else.
Yeah, give me an Almond Joy. I'm happy.
Right.
Versus
exactly.
some of the high end.
Well, I'm happy with Almond Joy as well. Actually, but that these guys are establishing themselves as a unique brand, a unique product. And in fact, are such a tiny player in the overall industry that they can have substantial growth for them and still be a tiny niche player in the industry
and not get stomped on by anybody.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you know, so we never know who the next, you know, Coca-Tat or Lost Coast Brewery is. You know, all of those started really tiny. You know, Coca-Tat, I don't know, they have 150 employees or something up there in Arcata. And you know, I was rafting on the Gallatin River a few weeks ago, and the raft guide had a Cocotat. She said, "This is the best. I buy it." You know, so I said, "Well, I'm from Humboldt County, where they're made." Oh, that's so cool. And you know, that was started in the back of the old Adventure's Edge. You know,
right.
It wasn't even called Cocotat. You know, and so you never know where those are going to pop up. And those are the kind of things I like to support.
So to avoid a really bad pun, but I'm going to use it as a verb. How do you foster that kind of business?
Right.
So that it's not the onesies twosies, because I think, at least from my perspective, the really micro onesies twosie guys don't have vision.
Well,
typically, or they've got such a huge vision that in the chasm from here to there is so large they'll never get there.
Right.
But how do you identify the Barbara Grooms and the O'Meara's and the guys and gals like that, Wing and some of those that they've got a vision, but okay, this one could fly.
Right.
This could be another one of those
magic
ones instead of another that, you know, you only got so many dollars.
Right.
Why not back the guy who really has a chance?
Exactly. Well, part of it's vision. I think part of it's just desire. I mean, I think some people will say, well, onesie and twosie, that's all I want to do. I just want enough to make myself a job and maybe hire another person. And, you know, we'll help. That's great.
But they're not exuding passion for the product and
for
growth and for everything. Okay.
You know, we work and are co-located with the Small Business Development Center. So a lot of the entrepreneurs will meet with, we have a group of counselors that we use that are community members. Some of them are very experienced in business. And, you know, we'll run them through that process to see, you know, are they interested in scaling up? You know, can they scale up? Do they have any idea how to do that? And of course, then you go through all the product idea. You know, is it a product that's going to work or not? But you know, so much of it is a desire, and not just a desire to be big, but a desire to work to get to there, and then have some sort of basis in reality. You know, it really just takes. I mean, quite honestly, it takes that vision, as you mentioned. I guess a desire to get to a certain size, and then the ability to work hard. And, you know, there's nothing worse. And I've seen this over and over again. And I just scratch my head when someone takes out a loan application, brings it back halfway complete and go, oh, gosh, these are so complex. And, you know, it's like 4 pages, you know. And you know, I'm saying you're coming in and you may be asking me for $100,000. But the hour or the half hour it takes to fill out my loan application is too much work. It's kind of giving me an indication of how.
Or at least fake it. Take it to the CPA.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, figure it out here.
Exactly. So, you know, and we've been pretty successful, you know, at helping out some of these little folks. And some have grown and some have not. And some are still growing and bumping along. You know, it's been fun. I mean, I've done 3 loans to beer makers, you know, which of course
that explains the profile.
Visits,
yeah.
A lot of site visits, a lot of product testing. But that's a very crowded space. You know, I think Barbara Groom told me once that there's a 1.5 breweries per week or day or something opening in the United States. I can't remember, some incredible stat.
Well, just look around.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know how much beer is consumed here, but I know North Coast Mercantile and Del Rica are still pulling, and Humboldt Beer Distributor. I mean,
well,
the other guys are still out there on the shelf.
And now we're seeing distilleries, you know, and that's the new thing.
Yeah, that's a little interesting concept, too. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Greg Foster.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop with Greg Foster. Greg, you'd mentioned distillery before the break. I would tend to think that alcohol-based businesses are probably going to be a little bit more challenging than some others, simply because, you know, the a lot of times it doesn't cost that much to get into it. You know, you got the by the batch guys,
right,
that are doing whatever they're doing, and then you have the scales, and you get up to the big boys. Okay, yeah, you can throw some serious money down there too.
Right.
But yeah, I keep looking at market share.
Right. Right.
That to me is the driver.
Right. Right.
Let's say profitable market share.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and how are you going to get placement on a shelf? How are you going to do that? How are you going to bottle? How are you going to?
Right, right.
And looking at those things for the small little guy that's trying it on the side, so he keeps some cash flow coming into the shop.
Exactly. Well, and shelf space, there's a great stories of the sort of Granny Goose, Laura Scudder's, Fritos, you know, and how the smaller chips and everything were pushed out because Frito-Lay just could. And it's the same with the big distilleries, the big brewers. You know, getting supermarket shelf space, if that's your goal, is incredibly tough. Now, we did a project years ago at the Small Business Development Center where we were working with local grass-fed beef growers. And what we did was hired a beef broker, and he ended up repping them down in the Bay Area, and they were able to get a foothold in like the Andronicos and some of those.
Yeah, so they're shooting out of Whole Foods rather than. Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. I remember years ago, I mean, when I say years ago, like 20, talking to Roger Lawson, who owned Premier Meats, which was based in McKinleyville at the time. And I think he subsequently moved to Reading about 15 years ago. But there used to be a group called Humboldt Harvest, which was the food producers. And Roger was saying, listen, it's all great to do all that local marketing, he says, but I sell more to one store in Santa Rosa than I do in all of Humboldt County. And so
the Costco goal is, factor.
Well, and the goal is getting access to those markets.
Yeah.
And the real challenge, of course, is helping these businesses get positioned so that when that order comes down, they can actually meet the demand.
Yeah, deliver the goods, yeah.
Right. And so it's, you know, that's a pretty intense balancing act for some of these folks. A lot of people say, well, I just need to start marketing. And it's like, you need to really be ready to fulfill, right? It's, you know, marketing, advertising, sales, and fulfillment, right? And
all is critical.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Everything's talk up until fulfillment, right?
Right.
And so, you know, that's we're... You know, we're seeing like when the commercial kitchens get built and some of these other things, so they can actually meet those markets and the food side. That's important. And so, you know, I have to say, when I was at the bank and here, one of the things I enjoy most is just and I'm constantly surprised by what people are doing out there. You know, we are obviously known for a couple big products coming out of Humboldt County. But we're also known for a lot of small products, and I, you know, when I travel, I can see our products out there. I mean, I've had Cypress Grove Chev in Austin, Texas, and San Antonio, Texas, you know, and I've had Lost Coast Brewery beer and certain wines and everything.
I was thinking ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm much more pedestrian than you are. But then again, I grew up in the backwater town.
Oh, as opposed to
being not in the metropolitan. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You probably had a paved road you grew up on.
Well, part of my time, yeah. Thanks for coming by, Greg. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. I'll see you then.